Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 19, 2014, or the 23rd day of the 4th lunar month, 2018. We will start our third service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Onward Christian Soldiers. Onward Christian soldiers, marching us to war, with the cross of Yahshua going on before. Yahshua the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Yahshua going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. Onward then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundation quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, Lord, your anthem raise. Like the mighty army, move the church of Yah. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Crowns and thrones have perished, kingdoms rule and wane, but the church of Yahshua constant has remained. Gates of hell can never against the church prevail. We have Yahshua's own armor that can never fail. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Then with all your voices in the triumph song, glory, praise, and honor unto Yahshua the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Yahshua going on before.
Part 3, Restore. We're still in Time of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 29. We're going to continue on. This is page 11. First, we're going to refer to a prayer thought taken from Psalm 69. It says, Save me, O Yahweh, for the waters have come in unto my soul. I sink in the deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into the deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail, while I wait for my Elohim. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, then mine enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O Yahweh, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Yahweh, Elohim the host, be ashamed for my sake, that not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O Elohim of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with the fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb unto them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Yahweh, in an acceptable time, O Yahweh. In the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Yahweh, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of the heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O Elohim, sit me on high. I will praise the name of the Elohim with a song, and will magnify him with a thanksgiving. And this also shall please the Yahweh better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. For the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek Elohim. For the Yahweh heareth the poor and despises not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For Elohim will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Okay. So it says, for Yahweh will save Zion, and he will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. Well, we're in Liberty Hill, Texas. This is a city of Judah. And I'm telling you, this is the number one construction place in the United States, right here in the Austin, Texas area. And it's pretty awesome. And so it says right, for Yahweh will save Zion. Okay. And we'll build the cities of Judah. Well, he started saving Zion there at the Judgment of the Living when he started in 2002 at Gilead Center. When he closed out Gilead Center, it's when he made his move to save Zion. And what Zion was that? Mount Zion at the 11th hour that B.T. Hollis wrote about so much. Okay, and the only way he could save her was he could save a remnant out of her. And that's what happened. Alright, let us go ahead now with our main study. We're going to pick up China Green Volume 1, number 29. We're on page 11. This is indeed part 3. It says those who now exalt themselves will have to be humbled. Isaiah 2:12-19, for the day of Yahshua the host shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pastures, or pitchers, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Yahshua and for the glory of his majesty. That should be for the fear of the Yahweh the Father and for the glory of his majesty, which is Yahshua, and the 144,000 and the house of David in all together, representing the kingdom of heaven here on earth, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Though men are now exalting themselves even above the Elohim, the day is upon us in which they will see themselves as they actually are. They will feel very small as they behold the power of our great Yahweh Elohim. Isaiah 2:20-21. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of the gold, which they made for each other, or each one, which they made for each one, for himself, for the worshiping. Okay, you want to cast them into the molds? You want to cast them into the molds and into the bats, to go into the cliffs of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty. Okay, now this glory of his majesty is the house of David. Okay. This is the fear of the Yahshua. Actually, we're really dealing with Yahshua, the man on the white horse. And for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake children of the earth. Those who do not now cast their idols unto the moles and unto the bats, as it were, will have to do so later. But it will then be too late to profit them. Isaiah 2:22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Here is Yahweh's simple remedy for his people. They should cease listening unto the soothsayers. They should instead hear what inspiration has to say. They should study Elohim's word for themselves with the aid of actually inspired teachers, but also with the aid of actually inspired teachers, okay, of the Elohim, and make their own decision. Never rely upon the decision and judgments of the others, no matter what they are or who they be. Just recently, a certain sister gave her a reason for the leaving one man's teaching and embracing another. Says she, so and so prays more and has more of the faith, more of the spirit than so and so, and I intend to stay by him. Never again will I trust in a man. For it is obvious that this sister chooses to stay by one's teaching, not because of the teachings themselves, but because of the man's appeal unto her. Then her statement, never again will I trust in a man, positively proves that she does not know herself, and that she knows even less what it means to trust in a man. For we believe in the Bible writers not for what they were, but for what they wrote. Men that are deceiving are all praying men, for the devil knows that the more they put themselves and their religion on display, the more will the people fall for them. They have nothing else anyway. For the majority do not pay much attention to what the Bible really says, and therefore know not that the Jews who crucified Yeshua were deceiving the common people by much praying, where they could be seen, that none of the prophets endeavored to thus sell themselves unto the people, that what they were anxious to sell unto the people was not themselves, but Elohim and his truth, that they all were very careful not to make a display of themselves. For Yahshua himself reaffirmed the same pattern. He did not pray with the Nicodemus or with the rich young ruler, but plainly told them what the truth is. There is no record that he prayed with anyone. On the contrary, though, I know a man making a prayer room in the corner of a public toilet, anything to sell himself to the people. But that is what people are looking for rather than the truth. It is because the laity are, as a rule, quick to listen to men that appeal to their taste, that because of this the enemies of the truth carefully and studiously try to pin them something against the characters of those who bear the message of the hour. For the adversaries well know that the laity are making their choice on the face value of the men's purported reputations rather than on the weight of the truth. For this reason, the adversaries of the truth are taking advantage of the situation. And so, since they cannot refute the truth, they desperately resort unto the pharisaical falsehoods with which to char the characters of those with whom they disagree. We nevertheless have good cause for the great and solemn rejoicing that we are privileged to be living in a day when out of the ancient ruins of Judah and Israel shall emerge a kingdom and a people that shall be exalted above all their kingdoms and nations of the earth. When the headquarters of the gospel are established in the mountain of the Yahweh, then the work will be finished without the delay. To repeat, converted a nation will beat their swords into farm implements, or they will turn from war into farming. After Elohim's congregation passes through the purifying process, then it shall be clearly seen that all, by all, that a lost church could not save a lost world. During the second Pentecost, every church member will be filled with the Spirit. Did you get that? After the second Spirit of Pentecost. They won't be on the very next Sabbath day after Pentecost calling each other bad names and standing up and calling the prophet a hypocrite now and some choice other names, blaspheming Yahweh's choice of his leadership. Now, the real Pentecost, everybody will be filled with the Spirit and in unity and working for one common cause, and that's for the conquering and the conqueror of all the evil nations of the world. And as a result, thousands will without hesitancy embrace the truth for this time. There is no time to lose. The day is upon us when men shall see themselves as they actually are. True, those who do not now cast aside their idols will do so later. But as we said before, it will then be too late to profit them. Now is the time to turn from men and to make our own decision in the accordance with the promise that unto any Elohim trusting and truth searching, one Elohim will give his Spirit to lead him into all truth. Even though the enemies of the truth may resort to every perfidy to harm the cause, yet truth always triumphs, and Elohim's people with it. Nothing can hurt the truth, for it is like an anvil. When the hammers of the adversaries are all worn out, the anvil will still stand. Okay, let's go with the next study. Seven Women Take a Hold of One Man. Time of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 30. Okay, it's our opening prayer thought for that study. We're going to read that one. Taken from two paragraphs from the Mount of Blessings, starting with page 188. The first paragraph elucidates on the statement, "Seek ye and ye shall find." The second on the words, knock and it shall be opened unto thee. Seek, desire not merely his blessing, but himself. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Seek and you shall find Elohim, and seeking you, and the very desire you feel to come to him is but the drawing of his spirit. Yield to that drawing. Yahshua is pleading the cause of the tempted, the erring, and the faithless. He is seeking to lift them into the companionship with himself. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. Knock. For we come unto the Elohim by the special invitation, and he waits to welcome us to his audience chamber. The first disciples who followed Yahshua were not satisfied with the hurried conversation with him by the way. They said, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou?" They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. So we may be admitted into the closest intimacy and communion with the Yahweh. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If those who desire the blessing of the Elohim knock and wait at the door of the mercy with him, assurance of saying, "For thou, O Yahweh, has said, every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and unto him that knocketh it shall be opened." Not only we are invited to seek the Yahweh, but we are assured that our seeking shall not be in vain. Our very desire to come to him is the prompting of his spirit. To this drawing we must yield. Let us now pray for unwavering faith in his promise that if we seek, we shall find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. The end of that prayer thought. Let us continue now with our study. We're on Seven Women Take a Hold of One Man, Town of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 30. First page, it says, we will continue our study of the book of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse of the fourth chapter. And in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." The first thing we need to know is the time indicated by the term "in that day." For the antecedent of the words "that day" is found in verses 13 and 14 of the preceding chapters, of which the fourth chapter is a continuation. These verses point out that day is the judgment day, the day in which the sanctuary, the church, is cleansed, the harvest day, so pointing to the day in which we are now living, to the judgment day. The scripture figuratively reveals that all, for that is what the biblical number 7 indicates, the churches have arrived at the place where by their actions they are in reality saying unto the Yahweh, "We want nothing from you but your name. Just let us be called Christians is all we want from you." But better yet, they won't be called by his name. They just name his name, and that's and then they tell him, "That's all we want from you. We want your name because it takes away our reproach." That is, if we be called Christians, then we can do, then what we can do can be blamed on you. You get the credit for it. According unto the word has reached the day when the Elohim, in order to save the church, is finally compelled to do something as great and as revolutionary as brought about by the first advent of the Yahshua. And what could that be? The remaining verses of the chapter give the answer. Isaiah 4:2. In that day, when seven women take the hold of one man, shall the branch of the Yahweh be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Okay, so now, for the Christians in these last days to advance and move into the everlasting kingdom of heaven when it is set up, they have to escape out of Israel at the time. The spiritual Israel that is on the scene at the time, they have to escape out of it. Who is that? That would be the remnant ones, the true Israelites, that are being held captive by the house of Israel that is commingled with the wheat and the tares. That's what the escaping is all about, is when you start the judgment of the house of Yahweh, it's just that the true remnant escape out of the house of Israel into the everlasting kingdom. This verse shows that the time is now ripe for this glorious revolutionizing of the church and of the world. Let us remember that history repeats and that a dark, cloudy day is always followed by a bright one. So this great apostasy is to be followed not by a chaos, but by the glorious revival and reformation, by the glory and prosperity for all the saints who escaped the vengeance of a great Elohim. For the faithful shall reap a harvest of the souls as did the apostle on and after the Pentecost. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, in the Christian era, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called Yahshua, or righteousness, Jeremiah 23:5-6. This very message, therefore, is the message of the righteousness by the faith unto them that believe in the day that the righteous branch is raised, Judah and Israel shall be saved, and they shall dwell safely. Okay, it says, yes, the day is here when Elohim's vengeance is to fall upon his adversaries and the once trodden down kingdoms of the Judah and Israel are to rise unto the prominence and power. Therefore, behold, the day comes, saith Yahweh, that they shall no more say the Yahweh liveth, nor actually the Yahshua. Therefore, behold, the day comes, saith the Yahshua, that they shall no more say the Yahshua liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Yahshua liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land, Jeremiah 23:7-8. Plainly this is the final harvest of the earth, the gathering of the people from all countries. It is the day in which they sang the song of Moses and the Lamb. This is to be the second and last Exodus movement. So great will it be that it will entirely eclipse the movement of the Moses day. Do we then realize that we are on the verge of a new day, a great day for the faithful and a dreadful one for the unfaithful? Isaiah 4:3, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. So everybody that's written among the living in Jerusalem, after the antipical Pentecost takes place, then their names will be written among the living in Jerusalem. This verse clearly shows that while none of the wicked in the church will survive the purification, yet none of the righteous will perish. Indeed, all that are left will be called holy and will enjoy even greater security than did his ancient people at the time they left Egypt. Behold, the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And what is his temple? It is the kingdom of David. It is the house of David. It's the mountain of the house of the Yahweh, Isaiah 2:2 and Micah 4:1-4. It says, behold, the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Well, we were seeking him for 32 years out of Kermit, because we believed that we had come to the place where The temple had been set up and put back into full operation for the restoration of all divine institutions that were prophesied during Daniel and Ellen G. White. So we've been looking for him, for I've been looking for him for 32 years. After the time that Gilead Center came to his close in 2003. So it says, behold, the Yahshua whom you see shall suddenly come to the temple. Well, we were seeking him, and he suddenly came in 2002 to the temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, this is antiphical Elijah, whom you delight in. Well, actually, the people that believe in the antiphical Elijah of the Bible, they delight in him because they think he's coming from heaven. They think that he'll come in the clouds just like Yahshua, and that there won't be no trouble accepting him that way. But to raise him up in the midst of the brethren and have him there all these years and finally the brethren come to hate him, no, they don't like that when Yahshua said, yeah, this is the one that I've raised up under you all, the one that you all have learned to hate, the one that you've had in your midst for many, many years. That's who I've raised up under you. And they said, well, we're not going to let this man is not going to rule over us. Okay, and Alan showed that by his words just the last few months here. He says, you keep talking about obey those that have the rule over you. Obey those that have the rule over you. Yet he says, you're making titles that, you're taking titles that don't belong to you. So you want us to obey you, and you say that you're appointed to be ruler over us, but yet you're taking titles that you don't belong to you. That's the excuse that Alan made. Why he wouldn't allow this office to rule over him. No, because we were taking flattering titles that didn't belong to us, so that was his excuse. Okay. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fine, like fuller soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Malachi 3:1-3. Isaiah 4:4-6. When the Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Yahrushim from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, and the Yahshua will creep upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies of cloud and smoke by day, and the shine of a flaming fire by night. For upon all their glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. For I, saith Yahweh, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be his glory in the midst of her, Zechariah 2:5. Anyone who knows the Bible can see that all these events are premillennial. So it is that this present apostasy is to bring forth the Yahshua's fruitful branch, that the wicked who are among the alien people are to be taken out of the way, and the faithful, those that escape, are to be the servants of the Elohim and reap a harvest of the soul, as such as should be saved, that the day of the vengeance is already at the threshold of the house, that his faithful ones are to be raised to prominence and power, that the greatness and the glory of the movement is to cause the wonders of the Exodus movement and of the early Christian church to fade into the insignificance. Brother, sister, are you prepared to abide at the day of his coming? Will it be unto you a great and glorious day? Or will it be a dreadful day? Will you find yourselves at his right or at his left? Let it be said unto you, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Or will it be said unto you, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Will your garments pass his inspection, or will you find yourself cast into the outer darkness, there to gnash your teeth? Now, these are solemn questions that each of us must now answer unto himself. If we do not answer them now, then we will have to answer by the standing speechless before an angry Elohim. May every one of us be able in that day to say, lo, this is our Elohim. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahweh, we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25:9. Okay, so now it talks about the depth of mercy. We're at the end of this study, on number 30, time to read volume 1. Has a little poem here. It says, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my Elohim his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him unto his face, would not hearken unto his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. Here for me the Savior stands, it shows his wounds and spreads his hand. Yahweh's love I know, I feel, Yahshua weeps and loves me still. Okay. So that's the end of number 30. Let's just go right on into number 31. We have about 25 minutes left on this study. And we're going to do the prayer thought for the old family tree is the name of it. And this is number 31. It says, fathers preferred to seat their children given grace. Now blessing 188. But Yahshua earnestly desired that the great multitude might appreciate the mercy and loving kindness of the Yahweh as an illustration of their need and of the Elohim's willingness to give. He presents before them a hungry child asking his earthly parent for bread. What man is there of you, he said, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? For he appeals unto the tender natural affections of a parent for his child, and then said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? No man with a father's heart would turn from his son who is hungry and is asking for bread. But they think him capable of trifling with his child, of the tantalizing him by the raising of his expectations only to disappoint him. And should any one dishonor Elohim by the imagining that he would not respond to the appeals of his children? For the Holy Spirit, the representative of himself, is the greatest of all gifts. All good things are comprised in this. The Creator himself can give us nothing greater, nothing better. We do not believe that what the Elohim tells us. If we do not believe what he says he is, then we dishonor him. He is very anxious to give us gifts, but only if we want them. He is particularly anxious to give us the greatest gift, the gift of the Yahweh Spirit. Naturally, with this gift, all other gifts are given. It was this gift that Solomon asked for, and with it, he was liberally given all the other gifts. Let us likewise pray for this great gift. It is just what Elohim wants to give us if we will only wholeheartedly and honestly promise positively to use the gift in the way he would have us use it. End of that prayer thought. Let us go right on in now to the Old Family Tree, March 8, 1947. Let us turn to the 11th chapter of Isaiah and begin our study with the first verse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, the latest inspiration on this is Rose Johnson represented Jesse because he's the angel of the seventh candlestick, the prophet to the Adventist Church, and the Adventist Church, first feeding pastor, Bashan, is operated by the father, antitypical father, Jesse, the father of David. Okay, and there shall come forth a rod. This rod is the rod of David, because antitypical David is finally showed up on the scene in the beginning of the 12th hour, 2002. So this Isaiah 11:1 meets its fulfillment in 2002. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, out of Gilead's center, that's the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The branch is going to grow out of the roots of this David, in the 12th parabolic hour, that started in 2002. And that branch is Yahshua. He says in Jeremiah 23:5, I will raise unto David a righteous branch here in the 12th hour. That's where this prophecy fits. Here is a family tree in which three persons are introduced. This verse does not say whom the rod represents, no, but inspiration tells me who the rod represents. It represents David. It does not say whom the branch represents. Well, I know who it represents. It represents Yahshua. But it does say that the stem is Jesse. Okay? So if the stem is Jesse, and David represents the shepherd rod of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, and Jesse comes first, so that would have to represent the Seventh-day Adventist church. Okay, so since the father of King David, the rod which came out of the stem, could be none other than the son of Jesse, David the king of the ancient Israel, the verses following this verse explain that the branch is Yahshua himself. Clearly then, this family tree represents Jesse, Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, David, house of David that emerged out of Gilead Center, in 2002, and Yahshua that emerged with him. For it was Yahshua that came on the scene that revealed David unto his brethren that he was abiding with their term in the 11th hour, with the 11th hour Adventist. Okay, so Yahshua came on the scene at the Passover, and he revealed himself unto antipathically Elijah David, because I recognized what was going on, and that Yahshua truly was there visiting. And he'd already told me in 2001 that he was going to make a change of the guard starting at the Passover 2002. He's going to take the reins in his own hands, and he's going to be there to change the guard himself. Said, from the old guard to a new guard. I told this to Brother Johnson as soon as I got the message in the latter part of 2001. Well, the remaining verses of the chapter are concerning Yahshua, his work, and his kingdom. Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh. Okay, this is the Spirit that rests upon the antipathical Elijah. That comes on to see Malachi 4:5. Here, just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Upon this one gift, the gift of the Spirit, all things hinge. Isaiah 11:3-4. And shall make him of the quick understanding in the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge at the sight of his eyes, neither reprove at the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Okay. The rod of his mouth is the house of David. Antipathical David, that's the rod of Yahshua's mouth. Okay? These verses, I am sure, need no comment, save in mention that the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips must mean Elohim's word, his truth, with his servant Elijah David. Because his servant Elijah David executed the rod of his mouth on July 14, 2002 at Kermit, Texas to the prophet, Brother Johnson, and it did its mighty work. So this very truth to which we are listening to this afternoon will, therefore, on the one hand, slay those who reject it, together with those who are disobedient unto it, but on the other hand, save those who give heed unto it, and who comply with this requirement. The one consequence is as natural as it is the other. For example, did not the preaching of the gospel of Yahshua save the apostle? And that gospel of Yahshua is teaching of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. But at the same time, it caused Judas to commit suicide. And did it not save the disciples, but destroy all the unbelieving of the Jerusalem in 70 AD? Same thing today. In the kingdom here predicted, not only are men to be at peace with men, but men with beasts and beasts with beasts as well. For the reason given for such perfect peace is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Yahweh Knowledge, then, is what we need, and shall we turn it down now when it is so freely brought to our doors? That's what they did at Kermit. It was brought to their doors. It was planted right in their midst for 32 years, and they knew it not. Knowledge that they needed on Matthew 20, explained of the five groups of laborers, who they were, what time did they come on the scene, what time did they occupy the vineyard of the house of Yahweh, what time are they in charge of it, what was their message, the whole nine yards. This is what they were supposed to seek after. I know when Yahweh told me to seek after it, I did, and he told me exactly and showed me all about Matthew 20, or what I needed to know anyway. Just as soon as Elohim people obtain this knowledge of the Yahweh, just that soon shall the kingdom appear. Alright, so as soon as they go and study the parable of Matthew 20, then that's exactly when they understand when the kingdom appears. And by my understanding and studying Matthew 20 down at Kermit in 2001-2002, as soon as the Passover took place, I knew exactly what was going on. I knew that the Yahshua had appeared, and I had that knowledge, and I realized that the kingdom of Yahweh had finally arrived. So it is that while learning the Elohim and of his wisdom, we are at the same time bringing peace on the earth. Okay, the more we learn about this kingdom and the more we become purified with it, the more we bring peace on this earth and the quicker we bring it. Plainly then, those who have not this knowledge of Yahweh cannot become citizens of his kingdom. How essential then that we study for ourselves, how essential that we know what is with the truth through our own personal experience, not through the experience of others. Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. That is, in the day of the branch, in the Christian period. Now, the Christian period in the day of the branch is in the 12th parabolic hour, folks. The Christian period actually started in 1844 in the 10th hour with the Adventists, yes, because Christians is a generic term used for everybody believing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, including the Catholics. So, when the Adventists joined the Catholics and let the Catholics join us and take over us in 1890, and the Jesuits taking over, but it's not in the day of the branch. In the day of the branch, it is from 2002 on, here in the 12th parabolic hour. Okay. In the Christian period and the day, this family tree is completed, see? Okay, so the branch showed up in 1970 in the form of a tender sprout that sprouted up from the ground. An infant. It was taught and believed it had sprouted in 1970. But it hadn't grown up unto the kingdom until 30 years later. Until around 2000. So it says that is in the day that the branch in the Christian period in this family, day that this family tree is completed. See, that's when it's completed. And it is that the kingdom of the peace, the church purified, sprouts, so to speak. So the purified church sprouted in 2000. When Yahweh told Brother Johnson to lock the doors at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock at the Solemn Assembly in 1999. Closing out 30 years from 1970 to 2000. Okay. That was when the sprout actually sprouted after the purified church is announced, so to speak, from the ground up. So the church didn't become purified until it had its first judgment, though, in 2002. So that's when the tender sprout actually sprouted. Because a tender sprout is not going to sprout to the house of Esau, and that's what Brother Johnson represented in 1970. That tender sprout is sprouts from the root of that tree of Jesse. It sprouts from the tree that represents spiritual Israel, the Adventist Church. Okay, Brother Johnson represented Edom, which actually is the apostatized Adventist Church, all right. But that tender sprout, it represents Yahshua. And it says then it is that the kingdom of peace, the church purified sprouts. So, the church purified sprouted in year 2000 when the wave sheaf offering came forth out of the Gilead Center and was offered at the Pentecost of 2002. That's when the tender branch sprouted, so to speak, from the ground up. It then stands for an ensign unto the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek for the salvation. Plainly then, this old family tree kingdom is to be set up while the probation lasts. Moreover, the place where it is to stand rest shall be glorious. It is therefore to have its own location and its own boundary line. And we have that location right on Liberty Hill and our own boundary line right around this Austin area. It is to be for the gathering of the people, the Ark of the Day, as was Noah's Ark in the Noah's Day. So we are again brought to the same truth which Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah 4 teach. Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Okay, it says, Yahweh is to recover the remnant, those that are spared of his people in the day of this kingdom. That this kingdom is set up. That is, the kingdom is set up. And then those who are left behind among the Gentiles, those who seek after the ensign, the Yahshua is to recover them. This second recovery of his people, declares inspiration, is to be from the four corners of the earth. The first, as you know, was from the Egypt only. Isaiah 11, 13 to 15. For the envy also of the Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of the Judah shall be cut off. For the Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. There shall be no sinner among them, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon the Edom and Moab, and the children of the Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven stream, and make men go over dry shod. Both kingdoms, Israel, sometimes called the house of the Ephraim, and Judah, are to be restored and united in the antitype. There's that word, restored. They shall never again envy or vex each other. And through the Ezekiel's command, the Yahweh says unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph, which is in the hand of the Ephraim, and the tribes of the Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of the Judah, and make them one stick. They shall be one in mine hand, and the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of the Israel. And one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Ezekiel 37:19-23. Thus it is that in the days of these kings, not after their days, shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it, the kingdom, shall break in to the pieces, and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great Elohim has made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel 2:44 and 45. If the kingdom is to destroy all these kingdoms, then it must be set up before these kingdoms are destroyed. For the stone that is cut out of the mountain at Gilead, sin in turn it takes that Mount Gilead is where the stone was cut out of, that represents the whole house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the Davidians collectively. In the days of these kings, it is itself to become a great mountain, and it, the kingdom, is to fill the whole earth, Daniel 2:35 and 45. In the days of the Moses, the Yahweh smote but one stream, the Red Sea, and one nation, Egypt. But now, the Yahshua promises, or the Yahweh promises, to smite every stream, all seven, and cause his people from the four corners of the earth to reach their land without as so much as getting their feet wet. Although today, as in the Moses' day, such a thing seems utterly impossible, yet it is certain that just as Elohim made it possible then, he will now too, for the battle is the Yahshua's. The will is ours. We have nothing to do but to obey his voice. That is our only duty, brother, sister. There is no Bible truth plainer than this, and there is no truth as important at this time as is this truth. For these are the very reasons that it either saves or destroys. For the accepting of it is for the having all of your sins blotted out. For the rejection of it is for the sin against the Holy Spirit. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, is the Elohim's counsel for you and for me. You well know now that this truth is irrefutable. Try and see for yourselves. Isaiah 11:16, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he camped out of the land of Egypt. This brings a close to us to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close this service now with a song. Come thou fount of every blessing. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung from flaming tongues of fire. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of my redeeming law. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Yahshua sought me when a stranger, wandering from the folds of Yah. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Yah, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Yah, feel it. Prone to flee, for Yah, love. Is my heart, Yah, take and seal it for thy course above.